Let's pray as we come to look at this passage. Father, thank you that you speak to us. We ask that as we read tonight, that we will know you more and love you more from what we understand of you. Amen. Well, a question. If you had to pick a person who's been the most influential person in your life, who would you choose? Each year, Time magazine releases their list of the top 100 most influential people of the year. This year's list included people like Barack Obama, the President of the US, Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, Pope Francis, the first Roman Catholic Pope from the Southern Hemisphere, and Taylor Swift. Back in 1992, a guy called Michael Hart wrote a book called The 100, ranking the 100 most influential people of all time. Any guesses who he put down number one? Muhammad. Number two was Sir Isaac Newton. Number three was Jesus of Nazareth. A bit further down the list, he has Kai Lun. Ever heard of him? Chinese guy who invented paper in the first century. Followed by Gutenberg. What did he do? Printing press. Put Kai Lun and Gutenberg together, and they had a big influence on the world. We have books, lots of them. But think more personally for a moment. Who's really influenced your life? For many of us, it's our parents. They have a huge impact on the way we grow up. Psychologists tell us that by the time we're 30, we most likely vote and think the same way as our parents, which is crazy because I spent most of my life trying not to be like mine, for good reason. I was expecting my dad to be here. He wasn't, so... Our friends have a huge influence on us, don't they? They influence the way we speak, the clothes we wear, what we think about doing with our lives after school. Our friends often influence the way we live every day. But sometimes the influences on our lives aren't that obvious. For example, some people live in this country because their grandparents chose to immigrate here a long time ago, before they were born. You had no say in that, but here you are. Sometimes it's not so obvious who's had an influence over us. Well, tonight's passage is all about influence. We're going to be introduced to the Apostle Paul's top two most influential people of all time. And unfortunately, Michael Hart is a long way off. His list is way off, we're going to see. The top two most influential people are Adam, the first man, and Jesus. So we're going to work through the passage looking at 3 points. If you have a bulletin, there's an outline on the back you might like to follow. We're going to start our first point looking at Adam and the influence he had over the world. Come to verse 12 of Romans 5. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. So that the first man, Adam, had an effect over everyone. When Adam sinned, sin and death entered the world, and it took over. Like that weed in the garden bed that starts small and invades the whole garden bed overnight, it seems, sin took over, and with sin came death. Spiritual and physical death reign. And Adam began an avalanche that has engulfed every person and everything in its way. And you know it's true, because you've seen it. What's the mortality rate amongst humans? 100%. We all die. Adam's influence has affected every one of us. Now, the idea that something that someone else did a long time ago might have such an impact on us doesn't usually sit very well with us in our culture. But it happens all the time, like our grandparents making a decision to move countries, or for all of us, our parents made a decision that you weren't part of that meant you're here. Decisions that someone else made actually affect us. It happens all the time. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly how this works. It doesn't tell us the mechanism by which Adam sinned and we all were born sinful, but it tells us that it's true. Look at verse 17, 18, and 19, the first half of each one. Verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man. Verse 18. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all people, verse 19, for just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, Paul is clear that Adam's sin has affected everyone born after him. So what's the biggest threat to us in our world now? Is it the economic instability? Is it terror or war, famine? Paul says sin and death are the biggest threat to us because the consequences are fatal. And so I think it's fair to say Adam was the most influential person who's ever lived until Jesus. So our second point, Jesus and his influence. The way Paul explains Jesus to us is by compare and contrast. He says the way we understand Jesus is by comparing him to Adam and seeing how he's the same and how he's different. It's a bit like a young boy going to Subiaco Oval for the first time. And when he comes home, his mum says, "How was it?" He said, "It's awesome. It's this huge football stadium. There's seating all around the oval. Some of it's even three tiers. It has four light towers, two huge TV screens. It's amazing." It is. But then imagine him going to Melbourne a year later to the MCG. And he comes home and his mum says, "How was the MCG?" "Oh, so much better than Subi. It's got three-tier seating all the way around the ground. There's six light towers, not four. The TV screens are 300 square metres, not 60. This place is awesome compared to Subiaco. It's still the same thing. It's a football ground, isn't it? But this is a much better football ground." So with Adam and Jesus, the next part of the passage, Paul compares the two and contrasts the two. So firstly, he says, the way Jesus works is exactly the same way as Adam works. Look at verse 18. "Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all people, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous." You see that? Adam influenced everyone. Jesus too influences everyone. Adam's action affected everyone born after him. And so does Jesus. It's a bit like one red shirt in the whites wash. What do you get? Pink. One red shirt affects everything in there. That's what it's like, both Adam and Jesus. And so I think it's fair to say that both Adam and Jesus have exerted a huge influence over the world. But the similarities stop there. Secondly, the contrast between the two. Come back to verse 15. "But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by that grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" You see the contrast? Adam brought sin and death. Jesus brought life and condemnation. No, he didn't. He brought life and justification. Oops. What Jesus brings is the exact opposite of what Adam brings. Adam began his avalanche that went down the mountain and engulfed everything in its way. Jesus stopped the avalanche and he pushed it right back up the mountain. But Jesus didn't just undo what Adam did. He did much more. Now, the way we see that, I think, is by allocating a point system. Let's give Adam a ranking. Adam, you get minus 10. Sin and death? That wasn't great effort, was it? Let's give you minus 10 points. So obviously Jesus undoes sin and death. He gets plus 10. That's not what Paul's saying. He says Jesus gets plus 10,000 points because what he did was way bigger than what Adam did. And we see that in the case of death. You see, humans have spent most of history trying to stop death. Much of the medical research that goes on now is aimed at slowing down or stopping death. People even pay money to cryogenically freeze their bodies in the hope that one day science will catch up and they'll have life again. But we can't escape it. The mortality rate amongst humans is 100%. Except Jesus did. Jesus has undone the power of death. See, which is harder? Is it harder to kill someone Well, harder to bring them back to life. I figure if you had to kill someone, you'd work out how to get your car, point it in the right direction, and drive it. But if I asked you to bring someone back to life, could you do it? No. When we see Jesus raised from the dead, we realise that he has changed the cosmos. The universe has changed. Death no longer wins because we see it defeated in Jesus' resurrection. And so for the first time since Adam, believers reign in life. Life is what characterises a Christian. But not only does Jesus bring life, he brings the rule of grace. You see, we're all in Adam. We all sin. We all deserve death. But Jesus brings a gift, the gift of grace. Look at verse 20. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When sin increases, grace literally super increases. And you know the dynamic of the Christian life. Sometimes you just can't do anything but sin. And sometimes you exercise self-control and you think, I'm having an okay day. But the reality is we're always frustrated by our failings. But grace always wins. It always covers sin. And even when sin increases, grace super increases so that sin can't win. The worst sin can do is make you sin more. But grace still wins. Grace super increases to cover that sin. It's a bit like a beanbag. You know, beanbags? You can't break them. You can jump on them. You can wrap them around your sister's head. You can do what you want to a beanbag, and it just doesn't break. It absorbs the punishment you give it. That's grace. It keeps absorbing sin, no matter how much we throw at it. And I'm sure you'll tell me later your story about breaking a beanbag. If God has forgiven you, there's nothing left that can separate you from him. So those who believe in Jesus are under the rule of grace. It never runs out. And we reign over sin and death not because we're more powerful than it, but because Jesus was. Because he gave his life to take away the power of sin and death. There was a historian called Tacitus who lived just after Jesus' time. And he wrote this. He said, during the reign of Tiberius, when Jesus lived, nothing significant happened in Palestine. He couldn't have been more wrong. The most significant event in human history happened in that time, when one man, Jesus Christ, was put to death on a cross outside Jerusalem. He rose from the dead, and he brought about a new humanity. And so our final point, point three, two heads, two humanities. We're not talking about Tasmanians. We're talking about two leaders, two humanities. One group has Adam as their head or their leader. This group is characterised by sin, death, and condemnation. All of us are there by birth. All of us are born with Adam as our leader. It's a natural place to be. But Jesus has changed things. In one act of obedience to the Father, he stopped the avalanche of sin and death. And he didn't do it by urging us to try harder. He did it for dying for us, by taking away the penalty. And so he shares with us his righteousness. He gives us something that isn't our own. He gives us his perfection, so that when God looks at us, he sees the perfection of his Son. That one event reversed the whole destiny of the universe. Muhammad didn't stop death. Gutenberg and Kai Lun, their influence together, produced many books, but it hasn't stopped us sinning. Einstein just told us that we can't travel faster than light, and I'm pretty sure we already knew that. That influence is tiny compared to Jesus. Each of us are born lined up behind Adam. But come back to verse 17. Halfway through, it says, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? You see, you can receive grace. The gift of righteousness that brings life forever. So that instead of being dominated by sin and death, your life is characterized by righteousness and life. All we have to do is change our allegiance from Adam to Jesus. And so that's my first question for us is, have you done that? Have you changed your allegiance from Adam to Jesus? Have you said, I recognize, Jesus, that you have changed the universe. You have undone the problem of evil, the problem of sin. That you've given and offered a free gift of grace and said thank you to him for that. And if you haven't, we'd love to talk to you more about what that looks like and to convince you that that's a great thing to do. But for those who already have accepted the gift, those who follow Jesus, there's two things I want to finish with. The first is to recognise the tightrope we walk. That is, we walk this middle ground where we have to remember two truths. The first is, we are born with Adam as our leader. That is, our lives are characterised by sin and death, and we need saving from that. If we forget that we are born in Adam, we forget the big problem. And we downplay the significance of what Jesus achieved. And we lack thankfulness. But if we, on the other hand, forget that the free gift of grace is so big that it takes away sin and condemnation, then we're more likely to keep worrying about whether we've done enough. Or we're crushed by the weight of our failure, feeling like, what can I do? But grace always wins. For those that are in Christ who have received the gift, grace always wins because God achieves it. Secondly, I think these truths help us understand our world. When you look around at your experience during the week, your experience of life so far, I think the Bible's diagnosis is spot on. We're all born contributing to the problem that Adam began. Sin and death reign. Therefore, we must never expect a human person to be the saviour. No political leader will fix all the problems. In fact, I think this is why a democracy is the best form of government, because we make sure that no one person has absolute power, because no one person is trustworthy to have absolute power. Nor should we expect our parents or our children or our friends or our church leaders to be perfect, because they aren't. But as those who are being changed by God, who have received the gift of grace, he is at work changing us, making us more like Jesus, helping us to live the life he wants us to live. And when we fail, he's dealt with it. Jesus has covered the sin. So the diagnosis, I think, is clear of the world's greatest problem. Sin and death rule. But we mustn't think that sin and death win, because Jesus has provided the remedy. He's brought righteousness to replace sin. He's brought life to replace death. He's brought grace to triumph over law-keeping, and he's brought confidence to triumph over fear. And so we give thanks to him. Thanks to God. Thanks to Jesus. For the work they've done in fixing up the problem that Adam brought. We reign in life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.